2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Oh, yeah, baby.
You know, Mitch.
Thanks, Kalani.
They love their Cougars.
Mitch Harper.
Welcome on in to the Cougar Tracks podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. Happy as always to have you on board the podcast, wherever you may be listening or watching the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We're all available on the KSL Sports social media feeds here on Cougar Tracks. You can also subscribe to the show on all major podcasting platforms. Got a jam-packed show for you today. Going to be joined by BYU basketball forward Braden Moore. You'll hear my conversation with the newest signee to Mark Pope's program. And I got to say, talking to him and getting a more in-depth perspective into his signing, I think he's got the potential to have a real impact in this BYU basketball program, potentially in year one. I think he's going about it the right way for the Cougars. I'll also discuss some BYU football talk. Bill Connolly released his win projections for BYU in the SP Plus ratings, some transfer portal news in BYU basketball, and then also some potential kick times for Cougar football in 2022 as we're starting to see the kick times released for the upcoming college football season, which that just always gets you excited, right? I mean, when you see those kick times, you know the college football season is just around the corner. So a lot to get to in today's edition of the program. You can follow me on Twitter at Mitch_Harper and subscribe to the show. Leave a rating and a review. You can also ask any questions that you have on the program here on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. We'll start things off with BYU basketball transfer portal news. Cougars are waiting on some potential decisions from some new transfer portal prospects. Mo Njai, Eastern Michigan big man. He was an All-MAC freshman team selection this past year. He's going to be deciding coming up on Thursday. He's got it between BYU and SMU. Where will he go? That's going to be a big decision for BYU to decide if they can get Mo Njai. Would be a nice addition for the Cougars if they could get him, because they desperately need some size in their front court coming up in 2022. The other player on BYU's radar, Kim Aiken from the Arizona Wildcats. Now, Travis Branham from 24/7 Sports, he logged a crystal ball on 24/7 Sports, projecting Aiken to go to BYU. A crystal ball for Aiken to BYU would be a nice get for the Cougars. And when the 24/7 Sports recruiting experts log a crystal ball, they're not just fooling around. It's not just, that might happen. Especially for the national guys, that's typically when they log a crystal ball, it's going to happen. So pretty noteworthy stuff there. Aiken started his career at Eastern Washington, where he was a Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year. He was at Arizona this past season, only played in 7 games with the Wildcats. He left the team due to some personal reasons, and there was never a clear outline as to why he left. Kind of mysterious as to how he just suddenly was done, at least according to the Arizona insiders. But if BYU gets Aiken, you're talking about maybe a poor man's version of Draymond Green, the way he plays defensively. You've heard me throughout this offseason. BYU's got to load up offensively. I just feel like the identity of BYU basketball always should be on the offensive end. That's just the BYU way, in my opinion. But defensively, they can't sacrifice that completely. And a guy like Kim Akin, if they can get him, would be a nice boost for BYU. And if you get Akin, you get Njai, your roster is set for BYU in 2022 and 2023. That wouldn't be, I think it'd be an upgraded roster. I do. I think that would be an improved roster, and you pair those guys with the newcomers of Dallin Hall, Richie Saunders, Tanner Toulson. That, to me, is a better team than last year. And it might be good enough to be an at-large NCAA tournament team. I think it'd be a better group. I think there'd be more balance. I think there'd still be some questions in the front court. There's no doubt about that. But those are the top two guys they're waiting on now. They've already got a signature from my next guest, Braden Moore, who I think is a quality addition to this BYU basketball program. And I caught up with Braden to discuss why he chose the Cougars. And, well, you can hear my conversation with the newest addition to the BYU basketball program, Braden Moore, right here on Cougar Tracks.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Cougar Tracks here on KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio, your legacy home of the BYU Cougars. And BYU basketball, Cougar fans have been telling you, like Mark Pope, he's always got an ace up his sleeve. He's always wheeling and dealing and making it, he's making relentless moves to improve this BYU basketball roster. And I think he did just that, landing the latest signee in Braden Moore, 6'8". Forward, guard, he could do a different things in this era of positionless basketball, and he joins me now here on Cougar Tracks. And Braden, how has the response been from Cougar fans, BYU Nation? How's it all been? What's been your reaction to the response to your signing with BYU?
Yeah, it definitely hasn't been, I haven't been disappointed. It's been pretty nuts. Coaches have warned me that fans are kind of crazy, so. Or I guess passion is the right word, but it was pretty sweet. Just, you know, Twitter, Instagram, you know, I got a ton of messages, just, you know, super positive. It was great. So,
you know, I think a lot of Cougar fans were excited to see you announced because you've got the ability to potentially play and have a chance to compete for some significant playing time this year. And we can get to all that here momentarily, but I'm curious, when you took your official visit a couple weeks ago, what questions did you have for BYU staff that you wanted to be answered? Because you were a high-profile recruit with a lot of options. What questions did you have for BYU staff?
Yeah, I asked the questions of what they saw out of me, like what do you think I could develop into? What do they want me to be? What can I do immediately to help? What things I need to work on? What things do I not need to work on as much? Coach Robinson, the assistant who recruited me, he actually did an at-home visit with me. So that was mainly when we got our questions, when we asked a lot of questions. Mainly, most of it was about the LDS faith. I'm an evangelical Christian, so that was, a little different. But, I'm still going to BYU. So, you know, questions I asked, clearly they're answered the right way. And, my family, we all feel confident sending me there, and I'm excited and just happy to play for Coach Pope and Coug Nation.
I'm glad you brought up the element of religion because, sometimes with BYU, there's always these, maybe stereotypes or things like, hey, can they actually drink Coca-Cola? Can they actually drink soda? Like, what is it like out there? Was it maybe questions along those lines of just simply what are maybe the expectations of the school? What can I, cannot do? Things like that. Is that was something that you were kind of wondering about?
I mean, I guess it was that. It's just, you know, when you're in an environment where you're, you know, I don't know what the percentage, it's a very, very high percentage of LDS versus, you know, non-religious or other religions. So I know athletes, it's very mixed. I think it's like almost, or a little more than 50-50, I think, something like that. I don't really know the numbers. But what I do know is that, you know, I just think that we prayed about it, thought about it, and knew that this was a place for me where God wanted me. And at the end of the day, that's, you know, that's what we figured out. And it wasn't more about what the LDS space was about. It was more about, you know, because like for most people, you know, you bring up the honor code and, you know, that's not, the, you know, that's not really attractive to them. But for me as a Christian, I believe those things that I, you know, I grew up that way. My parents raised me the right way. And so, you know, that's no issue for me. You know, that's actually attractive in a way. So with that, you know, I think, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to be surrounded around fantastic people, great community, people that will have my back. And, you know, that's all you can really ask for, especially in this day and age with sports being so crazy.
I'm curious more with Mark Pope. He's always been a guy, since I've been following him and covering his program, that he has so much energy. The guy is relentless. How would you describe how he, Coach Robinson, were throughout this process while they recruited you?
Just phenomenal. They were very hands-on and very, you know, informative and very, they really wanted to answer every question I had and wanted me to feel comfortable with my decision. They didn't want me to rush. They wanted to make sure I made the right decision. So, you know, just through all of it, you know, that they just, you know, any concern we had or anything that, you know, we were asking or whatever, they always filled in the blank for us. And, you know, I just remember one night my parents wanted to talk to him. And so that he talked to my parents for 30 minutes on the phone. So like just stuff like that was just phenomenal. And he just was great. And, you know, he's a fantastic coach as well as a person. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, people talk about, you know, people don't realize that your teammates is, you know, the people that you're around. I mean, I got to say what 70, probably 80% of the time, more than that actually. So, you know, so the people he recruits are people like me, and that's very attractive, right? So, so at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to be around great teammates that are going to push me every day, make me better, and be around a great coaching staff. And obviously Coach Pope, who, you know, I'm excited to play for.
Talk with Braden Moore here on KSL News Radio and KSLSports.com. I'm curious, Braden, when you finish your prep career at Donda Academy, and we'll touch on that here soon, I bet, but you had some official visits to last year, Nebraska, Rutgers, Wisconsin, BYU. Were you able to have a fifth official visit, or did the official visit count kind of reset once you matriculated into Donda Academy? How did that kind of work?
Yeah, so I took those three official visits, and then before I committed to Rutgers, and then that was a part of my junior year. Mm-hmm. Technically, because of COVID, it was all jacked up. It was all messy. And then senior year it restarted, and so I took a couple of visits. I'm not going to name drop, but to mid major and higher major schools, and just you know, I just knew that BYU is the place. And you know, it was pretty clear when I visited the first time, this is kind of where I need to be. You know, people say that, like, you know, when you visit that school and you know which place it is, I knew it was BYU. So yeah, I mean, just, you know, it was an up and down road, through it all with Donda. And, but yeah, I mean, it was great in the end. So
on that visit to BYU, if you're willing to share, what maybe were some key points that really just made you feel a comfort level that said, hey, this is the right spot for me?
I just think, you know, everybody on that staff is hardworking and diligent, and you know, and as Coach Pope says, you know, everybody on the team is playing, or every, I should say, player on the team is playing for something bigger than themselves. You know, they're not just playing there to play basketball. You know, they're playing to like, you know, for other reasons. You know, obviously you know, most people will say they play for basketball, but, you know, we play to honor God as much as we do to play basketball. And so that was a big selling point. And I really enjoyed that. And, you know, I think Coach Pope really liked my work ethic, and I think we kind of hit off in that way. I think he's a very, very hard worker. And so, I just think, you know, there was just a lot of things that we shared, and, you know, I think the fit was there. They broke down my film, they broke down their film, compared it, all that sort of stuff, you know, plan on getting me on in the weight room, you know, all sorts of stuff like that. Just stuff that's attractive to me. And, you know, I'm happy to, you know, and, you know, there's going to be work involved, you know, nothing's going to be handed to me. And as any freshman, I don't know many freshmen that get stuff handed to them unless you're top five, even then. So I know that I need to come in and, you know, work my tail off and, do my thing. So.
And you're one of two high school players in this 2022 cycle for BYU that signed. They've signed three players total, including Rudy Williams, a Coastal Carolina transfer. But the other high school player is Colin Chandler. And when you announced your signing with BYU, I perused YouTube to watch some of your highlights and noticed a game that included you with the Force on the AAU circuit, where you were against, I believe, Colin Chandler and the Utah prospects. Did you cross paths much at all with Colin Chandler, whether it be AAU or during this process when BYU became an option for you?
Actually, surprisingly not. Like, I know, like, everybody, I feel like. So that was one of the people I didn't know, and I wanted to get to know him, but we didn't cross paths as much as I wish we should have. I knew we played against each other once. I actually know Jackson Kohler very well, who lives near Provo. So, he's one of my good buddies, but, going to Michigan State. But yeah, you know, we were texting, me and Rudy, been texting all day today. And then, I've been texting with Colin as of lately. And so obviously he's going on his mission. So I'll play with him, you know, my junior year or whatever, however these years work these days. Yeah. But yeah, so. You know, everyone they're bringing in is fantastic people. I mean, I was around Trey and Foose and, Trevin. And so I was around all of them, and they were just, amazing. I mean, great guys. I mean, I went on a lot of official visits, and not to just slander any other schools, but, you know, just these guys really stood out, and were different. And, it just speaks characters of the coaches and who they recruit, you know, so.
And one of the things, when you mention all those guys' names, there are a lot of guys that can play a lot of different positions on the basketball court, and positionless basketball is the name of the game in today's game. I mean, are you a guy that falls in line with that? I mean, it feels like just watching you on highlights and whatnot, seems like maybe you're a guy that could play the two, you could play the four, three. Is that a safe assumption? Where do you feel confident in playing it at the next level potentially?
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, and I can never have the greatest answer, but what I discovered earlier is I'm really like a shooting forward is kind of what it is. I'm not a shooting guard because I'm too big, but I'm, you know, I'm like a forward, but I can really shoot it, but I'm not really a four. So it's like, I'm somewhere in there. I'm like a tweener in between that. I'm some sort of forward. So, maybe like a wing or something like that. But yeah, I mean, you know, so, yeah, I guess that's my position. Yeah. I mean,
hey, fair enough. I can't argue with that. How young did you get involved with the game of basketball? And I ask this because, you know, some guys, you know, like one of your teammates, Atiki, Ali Atiki, the guy has only played about 40 organized games, and that's of basketball, and that's to date after a year of college basketball under his belt. Were you someone that took to basketball at a very young age, or maybe someone that blossomed later? What was maybe your trajectory with this sport?
Yeah, I mean, I played pretty young. I didn't really take it seriously. Like, I wasn't one of those kids who had a trainer. I didn't start using a trainer until my junior year. So all from that on, it was just playing AAU on my own. Like, I never was really training. But you know how people, everyone these days has a trainer. Yep. I have a trainer right now just because, you know, that's kind of what everyone does when you're back home. But when growing up, you know, it was just me on the driveway pretty much. So, I guess in a way, like, you know, I didn't really, that's how I became such a good shooter, just cause I would constantly shoot all day long. But yeah, I mean, I grew up in Southern California. So I, you know, my dad played basketball. So I kind of just, you know, had a knack for it as a kid and was really competitive, and I just naturally was really good. Just had a high IQ, but over time, you know, I developed my shot and all that. But yeah, I mean, I didn't shoot it. I don't usually shoot this often, but I didn't shoot a 3-pointer until I was in eighth grade in a game.
Wow.
So, and then that next year I started as an eighth grader at my high school team. So yeah, quick turnaround. So,
that's pretty cool. Yes, you mentioned your dad. Did he play college basketball too?
Correct. Yeah, he played basketball at Point Loma Nazarene University. It's in San Diego. It's D2.
Yep.
Very, very good D2 school. And then my mom swam at Pepperdine.
Your year at Donda Academy, naturally, I think everyone probably on the surface looks at the Kanye West tie-in there. But, you know, for me, the amount of star power and the level of talent that's on that roster that you were part of, how much do you feel like you improved as a player competing against the high level of talent day in, day out on your own team?
Yeah, I mean, it was a dogfight every practice. You know, it was, you know, you had to get your hands dirty and get in there kind of type thing. Like, you know, there was no day you could just show up to practice and not work hard and, you know, go through the motions. And, you know, and that's kind of what freshmen struggle with going into college. So that's why I feel like I'm so prepared. And I don't think this past year was a fair assessment on what I can really do and what I've really improved on. And that, you know, that just comes with going to a prep school. You know, sometimes that's how it is, right? When you have such good teammates and, great coaches. But, you know, every day I was around NBA trainers. Every single day, an NBA trainer would train me, multiple times a day. So it's like, you know, practice is, you know, ultra competitive. You're having to figure out ways to score one-on-one against, you know, top 5 player in a class. Who can jump out of the gym. So it's like all that sort of stuff, you know, was great. And, you know, I got way better. My shot got a lot better. Just everything defensively got better. So like everything I did, which is exactly why I went there in the first place to say, you know, so.
And how often was Kanye around, if at all?
Yeah, no, he was around quite a bit. He'd come to our games. He'd pop his head in here and there. He's pretty involved. He's pretty active. You know, he doesn't have our numbers and we don't have his number for probably good reason, but I mean, he'll talk through, you know, our guys that's around him and stuff like that. So, but yeah, he was very involved.
So I got to imagine you guys were an Adidas team, right? Were you wearing like the latest Yeezy gear? Like, did you guys all have the latest Yeezy drip? Was that one of the perks of Donda Academy?
Yeah. Balenciaga jerseys and 500, in the 500 Yeezys that we played in. There weren't even basketball shoes.
Oh, man. So are you usually an Adidas guy? And I ask this because BYU is a Nike school. Well, do you have typically a preference, or are you going to, or is Nike okay with you too?
Oh, I prefer Nike every single
okay.
day. I hope I don't ever get to the point where I have to take and choose between Nike and then go back and look at this interview and be like, oh, but you like Nike more than Adidas. I'm like, no, Nike. So like, it just fits me the best. But I mean, speaking of Adidas, I just got one of the guys sent me a pair of Yeezys today in the mail from Donda.
Nice.
So yeah, so you know, all that sorts of stuff. You know, my family got some stuff. So it was pretty cool. Yeah.
That is way cool. That is awesome. As someone who's always admired the Yeezy merch, I need to be more of a hype beast and just drop the money for all the latest gear. But it's always cool to see it from afar. And you know, I appreciate you taking the time, Braden, to hop onto the program to join me and discuss your commitment and signing with BYU. I know Cougar Nation's really excited to see you and looking forward to covering your time with the Cougars.
Yeah, of course. Appreciate you having me.
There you go. That's Braden Moore, the newest BYU basketball signee. Impressive kid. That's a good addition for BYU. And he's got a good head on his shoulders. He's approaching it the right way. And you can't argue with someone who's not a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that is looking at the honor code as a positive. That's a great fit. You know, Mark Pope talked about that when he was hired back in 2019. It's an instant filter. That wasn't just solely for LDS guys. BYU poses a lot of great opportunities for athletes that just want to be focused, avoid distractions, make some NIL opportunities, and play at a high level. Now you're in the best basketball conference in America going forward, too. It's a good get for BYU. Braden Moore will be a good player for BYU right away in year one. He's going to be in the rotation. There's no doubt about that. If you missed that interview, if you're watching on the live stream, you can check it out on the podcast feed, Cougar Tracks, on the KSL Sports app and all major podcasting platforms. Switching over to BYU football, the Cougars offered a 2025 quarterback. Kind of caught my eye last night. Ashton Byerly. His nickname is Dash. He's got to be a huge Incredibles fan, I would imagine. 2025 signal caller. Anytime a quarterback gets offered, you got to take note of it. It's a big deal. Chaparral High School in California. BYU's picked up some guys during the Kalani era from that school. 6'1", 205 pounds. Already holds an offer from Pitt and BYU. So here's the scholarship pipeline of offers. These are not guys that are committed to BYU, but guys in the pipeline in terms of offers. 2024, Isaac Wilson. You've heard me talk about him. Priority 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He's got to be the top of the board in 2024. Now Ashton Byerly in 2025. And then in 2026, Ryder Lyons, the younger brother, to Walker Lyons, the heralded tight end in the class of 2023. So those are the kind of the notable quarterback offers for 2024, 2025, and 2026. I still believe BYU needs to add another quarterback in the 2023 class to go with Ryder Burton, but maybe you explore the transfer portal to see where it stands in that space. And that's another thing, too. People have been talking about the Tennessee scheduling move. You don't want to get something too fierce because you're going to break in a new quarterback. What if that new quarterback's a hot shot prospect out of the portal? Could be Jacob Conover, too. But it also could be a heralded guy from the portal. Don't sleep on Aaron Roderick. Also, with BYU football this fall, Bill Connolly from ESPN released his independent preview, SP Plus ratings. He's got BYU ranked number 23 in the SP rankings. Got a win projection total of 8.5. 8.5 for BYU. I think that's fair. I've got BYU at 9 wins this season. 9-3. I think that's the sweet spot. That's a juicy line. I would be tempted to smack down the cash to say over. But there have been games last year where BYU struggled. But they didn't give up many points, though. That's one of the things that's interesting about BYU's defense, and that's one of the knocks that Bill Connolly notes on BYU. He's got BYU rated as the 11th best offense, 48th best defense in college football per his SP ratings. If they put together a top 25 defense, they're going to be a 10-11 win team. There was far too many games last year. Like you look at Washington State, Georgia Southern. The point totals that they gave up were not that much, but just the ebbs and flows of the game, there's much to be desired from that defense. They got to improve. I think they will. I think that the continuity that comes back on the defensive line is reason for optimism that an improvement will happen, but this schedule is tougher. And I think that's the point you got to keep pointing back to, is that will the level of play get better simply because of continuity? But the schedule also improves, too. Is BYU too predictable from the defensive side? We'll see. But I think 8.5 is a fair win projection total. I still am not ready to say 10, 11 wins yet. I'm just not. I'm not ready to go there at this point. I think the offense is going to be outstanding. I think it's going to be a top 10 offense in college football. But my questions, like Bill, lie on the defensive side. And it all gets started on September 3rd against South Florida in Tampa. And coming up a little bit later this month, the kick times for the early month of college football will be released. And I made some predictions a month ago as to where I think the kick times, the TV channels will be for college football or for BYU in 2022. I got to say, ESPN's got some sweet matchups early on. Georgia versus Oregon, week one, sign me up. Notre Dame, Ohio State, awesome. That's prime time. That's fantastic college football content. Week one, I think BYU-USF, my prediction for that game is 10 a.m. Mountain Time on ABC. That's my prediction. Because I think that with the AAC, they've got a certain allocation of number of games that can go on ABC. What better spot than BYU, who's probably a preseason top 25 team, now with USF, who's got a little bit of national intrigue behind them with Gary Bohannon now joining the Bulls. I think that's a good game. You know, honestly, I think BYU South Florida is getting juicier as the days and the weeks go by. That is going to be a tough game for BYU. History has never been kind to BYU in the Sunshine State. That will be a tough game. Week ones are always just dicey. But I think it's going to be a 10 a.m. game. I think that's one that you put on network TV, and 10 a.m. games are tough too. You're talking noon Eastern, 10 a.m. body clock Mountain Time game. Last time BYU opened a season at 10 a.m. Mountain was 1996 in the Pigskin Classic. Before that was 1995 against Air Force. I also predict BYU-Baylor. Again, this is just my predictions, kind of piece together the puzzles of where games might lie, trying to forecast my travel itinerary, things like that, try to get an idea of what maybe might be the spots for kick times and things like that. BYU-Baylor is interesting. Texas and Alabama is going to go to Fox in week two. So I would assume that's probably a big noon kickoff. And you look at the rest of the week two college football schedule, it's pretty weak. ESPN didn't announce any major ABC matchups for week two yet. I wouldn't be surprised if BYU and Baylor got the primetime treatment on ESPN or maybe ABC, 5 o'clock, 5:30, probably 5 o'clock ESPN's my prediction. Primetime, you got the Big 12 storyline, you got a revenge element, home game, home opener for BYU, potentially two ranked teams. I think that gets the primetime treatment because Alabama and Texas are going to most likely be a big noon kickoff on Fox. Week three, BYU at Oregon, I predict 8:15 p.m. on ESPN. Could be a 1:30 kick, maybe. ESPN tends to always love the juicy non-conference matchups. Could also be a Fox game, too, maybe in primetime, potentially, or FS1. But I'm going to go 8:15 on ESPN, a late night at Autzen. That's my prediction. And then for week four, usually they go up to about 3 or 4 weeks in with the schedule. I'm going to say BYU, Wyoming, 8:15 in Provo on ESPN2. That just seems like a lock. BYU playing a Mount West team, both teams out west. A little bit warmer weather in Provo that time of the year. Throw it in the late night spot, 8:15 on ESPN2. I'm already 1 for 1 on my predictions on KSLSports.com for the TV and kick times. I nailed BYU Notre Dame 5:30 p.m. on KSL5 TV, NBC. But that was pretty easy. I knew that was coming. But the first 4 weeks, we'll get kick times most likely coming up a little bit later this month, and that's my predictions for the kick times for BYU in 2022. Can't get here soon enough. I mean, you see those kick times. You see Wisconsin, Ohio State, Texas, Oklahoma, Florida State, LSU on Sunday night. Sign me up, man. College football. Let's get the summer over with. Let's just move on to college football, baby. I'm ready. Get it going. I'm ready for some college football in my life. Cannot wait. I'm hyped for that BYU-South Florida game. I think that's going to be just awesome. I think it's going to be a great game. People are sleeping on it. I think it's a heck of a matchup. I think it's going to be a fun game. It's one of those games, too, where BYU better not pull an Independence Bowl where they're just overlooking the Bulls, looking ahead to Baylor. Because I think Baylor is the team that represents Utah this year, where it's like circle the wagons for Baylor. Everyone wants to get revenge against Baylor. Don't sleep on USF. I think Gary Bohannon gives them a little bit of confidence. He's going to win that quarterback job. And that team had a little bit of success last year against BYU in the second half. Ball control, kind of a unique approach to try to get back into a game where they were getting blown out. But still, they made it a one-possession game at game's end. That's going to do it for this edition of the Cougar Tracks podcast. Big thanks to Braden Moore for hopping onto the program. Really enjoyed my conversation with Braden. If you missed any part of the program, you can subscribe to the show on all major podcasting platforms, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and it's also available on KSLSports.com and the KSL Sports app. I'll be back on Friday at high noon on the KSL Sports YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter feeds, discussing all the latest in the world of BYU sports. We'll probably get an update on BYU transfer portal news with Mo and Jai and a whole lot more. This has been the Cougar Tracks podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.